Colossians chapter number 2. If you would turn there, Colossians chapter number 2. All right, Colossians chapter number 2. We have been going through Colossians just a little bit at a time, and we find ourselves now in chapter number 2 and verses 9 through 12. We spent 2 weeks on verse number 8 because it's such an important verse that really is one that I would encourage you even to memorize and just meditate on, and really more than that, to grab a hold of the truth of from Colossians chapter 2, verse number 8, where it tells us to beware lest any man spoil us through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And of course, the Lord was leading the Apostle Paul. He was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the Colossian church, and he was telling them how much of a burden he had for them, that they would grow in grace, that they would understand the treasures that they have in the mystery of Christ and all those things. And then, of course, in verse 8, he says, listen, beware, don't let anyone spoil you or take from you that which God has given you. Don't let yourself be robbed of the blessings of the truth that God has given you in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what they'll use, right? They'll use traditions and vain deceit and philosophy and all those different things that we talked about over the last couple of weeks. And now we turn our attention to verse number 9, verses 9 through 12. And maybe we'll even get beyond that potentially, but verses 9 through 12, it says, for in him, and the him there is the Lord Jesus Christ, right? For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. So we are to beware lest any man would spoil us through these other things, and not after Christ. And why is that so important? Well, because of what we just read right there, that in Christ are all of these wonderful blessings that you and I have. And first of all, I want you to see that according to verse number 9, in Christ is fullness. As it says there in verse number 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. There is fullness in him. First of all, we need to talk about what is the Godhead. When it says there that in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, what does that mean? Well, the Godhead, that word behind that is not often used in our English language. It's not often used in the Bible. It's only found a couple of times. But when it is found, what it means is basically the divine nature or essence of God. In other words, this, that Jesus was not just someone who was like God or someone who had a lot of the characteristics of God, like we might say that a few of the men of the Bible were godly men and they had some of the characteristics that God gave to them. But no, Jesus is not that, but rather the fullness of the Godhead or the essence of God, the nature of who God is, was in him. What does it mean that it says that he had the fullness of the Godhead and not just that in him was the Godhead? It says specifically the fullness of the Godhead. Well, I hope you understand that the word fullness just simply means there was no part lacking. That as Jesus had the essence or the nature of God in him, listen, he had every single part of God. It was there in him. And boy, I tell you what, that's something that needs to be understood and grasped by every single Christian. Do not let yourself ever be deceived into thinking that Jesus had anything less than entirety of who God is. In other words, he is God in the flesh. Don't ever let yourself be deceived into thinking that, well, he's part God and part man. No, 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 no. Listen, he is 100% God in human flesh. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. There was no part lacking. Whatever part there is of God, the essence and nature of God, every bit of it was in Jesus Christ. That's a truth that, I tell you what, we could meditate on and
grab a hold of and have in our minds and our hearts. And I think we probably couldn't fathom, get to the bottom of all of the depths of what that would mean, right? But then notice that it says that the fullness of the Godhead was in a body. It says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That means that God took upon him the form of flesh, that he was literally in a body. And friends, that again is another amazing truth that we ought to meditate on and think about, that it's not just that God came down in the form of an angel. It's not just that God appeared to men. He did that in the Old Testament at different times. He did that at different times with Abraham. We talked about that a little bit in a message recently. But it wasn't just that in Jesus Christ, all the fullness of the Godhead became man, took the form of man. Look with me, if you would, keep your place in Colossians chapter number 2, and look with me over to John chapter number 1. We've shared it a little bit already in previous weeks, but we're going to do it again because it's so important for us. John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1 and verse 1. Please note what the Bible says here, John chapter number 1 and verse 1. It says there, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Notice that, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now notice verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. This is now again, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this is John the Apostle writing. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness, there's that word again, of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. I want you to notice there that the Word of God tells us that that Word that was in the beginning with God, who was God, that Word was, according to verse 14, made flesh, and it dwelt among us. That is an amazing truth, that God would become like, I'm sorry, that's not even the right word, that God would become man, that he would take on the form of human flesh is an amazing thing. And again, to you and me, if you're like me and you grew up in, under Christian doctrine, it's easy to go, okay, Pastor, let's move on to another, you know, let's get something deep. But friends, I don't think we completely and totally grasp the amazing thing it is that God would take the form of flesh. It's an unbelievable truth. And that forever, friends, he has that flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, amen? He was buried, and then he rose again. That literal body that he rose with, which I trust you, like me, believe what the Bible says, that as Jesus rose from the dead, it was a literal body, amen? It was not just a spirit rising from the grave, but his literal body rose from the grave and later ascended to heaven, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Do you understand that as he's seated at the right hand of the Father, he is not seated in a spiritual form, he's seated in a fleshly form. His body is there. And forever and ever, the God of heaven who created all of this has associated himself with mankind by taking on the form of flesh. Sinless, dying in our place, resurrecting, glorified, seated at the right hand of the Father, and forever and ever, he has that body. And listen, someday we will be raised with a body like his. That's an amazing truth, that God loves us. Now, where in the Bible does it say that God ever associated with angels like that? He didn't. He never has. What other parts of the creation did God associate himself with? None. Mankind were the only ones. The only part of his creation that he associated himself with, that he loved and cared for. And again, all the principalities, all the powers, all the angelic beings, all the lower animals that God created, and plants and the rest of the earth that he created, those are all his creation, and he created them very good, but he did not love them and care for them and associate them with them like he has with you and me. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It's an amazing truth. And I think we ought to give him praise and honor and glory for the fact that he has done that. Because of that, look at 1 John chapter number 1, if you would, please. 1 John chapter number 1 and verses 1 through 4. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. First John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. That's talking about Jesus Christ, isn't it? For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Again, that's Jesus. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy might be full. The whole reason that the Apostle John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote the book of 1 John is to try to help others to understand the wonderful blessing and joy that it is to have fellowship with God through fellowship with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And John says, listen, I was there. I beheld his glory. I handled him. I touched him. I leaned on his chest, and I was there and close to him, and I was this disciple whom he loved, and it was God in the flesh, John says. And he says, I want you to know the fellowship that I have had and enjoy that with me. It's an amazing thing that God's fullness was there. Now, I think about the Old Testament. We don't have time to look at these passages of Scripture, but God's presence was with Israel in the Old Testament, in the time of the law. God was with them in a very unique way that made them unique. You remember what God said? I tell you what, let's look at a couple of passages of Scripture. Exodus chapter 25. Maybe we will look at these. I think we'll squeeze in the time, all right? Exodus chapter number 25. Exodus 25 and verse. Yeah, and I must have written down the wrong verse. That is not the first time. I know, I thought it was funny too. All right, very good. So, and let's see here. No, I guess I wrote down the right one. Never mind. Take that laugh away. All right. Take it back. Do it right now. All right. Exodus 25 and verse number 8 says, and let them make me a sanctuary, God said to Moses, that I may dwell among them. This is right after they have left the slavery in Egypt. They're in the wilderness, and God is giving Moses commandments to make a tabernacle. And when he gives them commandment to do that, he says, let them make me a sanctuary. Why? That I may dwell among them. Look over, if you would please, to the same book, but chapter 33, verses 15 and 16. So Exodus 33, verses 15 and 16. And this is Moses now after the failure of the children of Israel. Remember, they had the golden calf and all of that. And God is angry with them and is not planning to go with them. And Exodus 33, verse 15, and he said unto him, this is Moses now speaking to God, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Notice he says, the thing that would separate us from all other people is that God is with us. And that was special about the people of Israel in the Old Testament. Exodus 40 and verse 33. He reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Look at verse 34 of Exodus 40. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, and Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. That tabernacle, God blessed it with his presence. And when he blessed it with his presence, Moses himself could not enter into the tabernacle because of the glory of the Lord. Now, that was an amazing thing and a great blessing, and it was something that separated the children of Israel from all other people in the earth. And now you and I have something even better than that. We have the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The tabernacle was a blessing, wasn't it? God said, I'll dwell among you in the tabernacle. And Moses said, God, this is what's going to separate us from all other people is if you're with us. And God says, okay, I'll be with you. And when they built the tabernacle, the glory of the Lord was upon it. But friends, nowhere ever was it said about the tabernacle that the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in the tabernacle. In fact, there came a point later on, if you read the book of Ezekiel, where the glory of the Lord that was there left the tabernacle because of their sin. Or, I'm sorry, the temple later on. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, something even greater than the glory that was in the tabernacle has been given to you and me, and that is the fullness of the Godhead in a body, and that's in Jesus Christ. Let's go back to Colossians chapter number 2. That leads us to verse number 10 through 12, where verse 9 talks about the fullness in him. Verses 10 through 12 is all about the fact that we are complete in him. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Now, what I want you to notice there is we are complete in him. Now, here's the interesting thing about this. What does the word complete mean? I think all of us understand the word complete means no part lacking. Now, this is my definition, okay? So it's not Webster's dictionary, but do you remember the definition that I gave you of fullness? It meant no part lacking. The word complete means the same thing. Here's the interesting thing about it. If you look in Greek, the word fullness is a derivative of the word behind complete. So when it says here that in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in the very next verse it says, and ye are complete in him. It's not the same word, but it's a derivative of the same word. That same fullness that was in Christ is now given to you. And that's not some weird doctrine that like is from the Mormons that you and I are going to become gods and have our own planet someday, okay? That's not that kind of doctrine. Don't take it to that weird extreme. We're not talking about that. But here's what we are talking about is that is the great blessing that we have in Christ. That the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in the body of Jesus Christ. And now because I am in him and I am one with him, now I am also complete. There's no part of God, friends, that I lack. That doesn't make me a God, but it does make me a blessed individual that there's no part of God that I'm lacking. And that's the same for you. There's nothing that you lack. You have everything you need in Christ. And I believe that if the Apostle Paul were here and he were the one preaching to you, he'd probably even shout it louder than I am. Because he would be passionate about wanting you to know what you have in Christ. Isn't that why he said what he said in chapter 2 and verse 1? Look at chapter 2 and verse 1. For I would have you, or I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you. You think the Apostle Paul was maybe a little passionate about this? I'll guarantee you he was. I guarantee you, he wanted every single Christian to understand what they have in Christ. And he was grieved when he saw the Colossians start thinking that they needed to obey this Old Testament law or this tradition of man or this observance of days or whatever, as if that somehow were going to make them a better Christian and more approved by God. If they could just do this thing, then God will be happy with me. And if I can just have this one added aspect of Christianity, then suddenly I will have arrived as a Christian. And I think Paul probably was grieved over that and said, do you not understand what you have in Christ? Have you missed the truth of what you have in Christ? And that's why he said, beware lest any man spoil you. Satan is trying to steal something from you. The word complete and the word fullness are related. Therefore, as Christ has all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and I am one with him, I have every single thing that I may ever need for the Christian life. Look with me, if you would, Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Friends, that doesn't just mean that in heaven we're going to have all the wonderful blessings that we've always wanted. I'm sure there is an application to that, and there's a truth there. But that's not really what that verse means. What that means is that in the Lord Jesus Christ, I have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. There is absolutely nothing that I'm lacking. If there is a spiritual thing that I should have as a Christian, friends, it's already mine. I don't even have to, now this is going to blow your mind. Here we go, get ready. I don't even have to pray for it. I don't have to pray asking for some spiritual aspect. Listen, it's already mine in Christ. Now, I may or may not be accessing it. And I think the amount of blessings that we have in Christ that we are accessing is probably a very small percentage, much to our shame. But it's all there. It's there in Christ. I'm in him, and he has it all. That's why the Bible says, walk in the Spirit, which is our theme for 2024. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because walking in the Spirit, I'm accessing everything that I have in Christ. And I'll be all that I should be as I walk in the Spirit. I have an amazing blessing in Christ. Let's go to Colossians 2 again, and I'm going to close with this. Still talking about the fact that we are complete in him. It says, and you're complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Turn back with me to chapter 1 and verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. I am complete in Christ, and he is the head of all principality and power. Here's what that means. What that means is this. Before I was saved, I belonged to Satan, and he had every control over me. Whatever he wanted me to do, he was my Lord and Master. And I had no power against him. But now that I am saved, he has no power over me. I am complete in him and in Christ, and Christ is the head of all principalities and powers. There is no principality or power that Christ is not sovereign over. So I cannot, as a Christian, use the excuse, well, you know, I'm having trouble and being all that I should be as a Christian and doing all that I should do as a Christian because it's just Satan. I mean, Satan's just everywhere, and he's beating me up, and he's doing this, and he's doing that. Listen, friends, when we talk like that, we are revealing that we don't really understand what we have in Christ. Satan has zero power over you. Zero. That temptation that keeps coming your way, that's nothing in Christ. Don't use the excuse of temptation. That is a cop-out that Christians use. Don't use the excuse of Satan's beaten me up or this thing or that thing. That's a cop-out, friends. Jesus is the head over every principality and power. Now, again, I may not be accessing all that I have in him, but I have everything that I need. I am victorious in Christ. Isn't that what the Bible tells us? That God has made us always have the victory in Christ? What the Word of God says. Through all these things, according to Romans 8, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Even through death and all the other things that come even to a Christian, I'm a conqueror in Christ. No authority can dominate me now that I am in Christ. And then circumcision is mine, according to verse number 11. I tell you what, we're going to stop right there, and maybe the next time we'll take up right there, because I do want to spend a little bit of time on that idea of circumcision. That's an important truth, what we find in verse number 11, that needs to be gone over in more detail. So I hope that was a blessing to you. I hope that was a challenge to you. I hope that you are reminded often of all that we have in Christ. Let's pray. We'll give some announcements. We'll take up an offering. Then we'll let the ladies be dismissed to the Ladies Missions Fellowship. Heavenly Father, it has been a blessing to be in your house with your people. It's been a blessing to look at your word. And all, now, Lord, I do ask that you would help us to remember all that we have in Christ. And thank you for giving it to us. Forgive us, Lord, for not walking in it. Forgive us for not accessing it. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.